Welcome to The Last American Vagabond. Thank you for joining me today. I'm honored to be joined today by Jimmy Dore, here to discuss his perspective on what's been going on with COVID-19. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today, Jimmy. How are you?
Hi, it's great to be back. Good to see you.
You as well. Apologize for the delay there in the beginning. You might not be surprised to find out that YouTube was messing with things before we got started. That's the same old story, right? I had to change some things because they altered the link, but that's, you know, nothing to get into today. But thank you for being here today. I'm excited to talk about this because if you remember the past interview that we had, I was really honing in on how impactful, how important comedy can be to reach people in regard to politics or anything else, because it kind of allows their guard to be let down and kind of opens that door. So you've been doing an amazing job in the past around foreign policy and calling these things out. And then COVID-19 kind of came around. And a lot of us were kind of thrown for a loop when this first started. You know, what's really happening? What's going on? So I wanted to focus today on how your opinion has evolved over the process of this COVID-19 situation and what your thoughts are around it and what you're seeing today. So I'd like to start off with, you know, what was your impression of this when you first heard about this, when it first started? What was your impression of what was going on?
So I didn't know what the hell was going on. It was March 2nd. I was in Miami doing my last live date. And I remember flying home. There was a guy on the aisle and he was all, he had like his glasses on, a mask on, gloves on, a hood. I was like, this guy's crazy, right? And then a couple weeks later, you know, everybody was scared to death, right? And we had went into a lockdown and I got scared too because I have underlying health conditions. So they scared the shit out of me about it. And right. I was wiping down everything. I wouldn't even go to a grocery store. I was getting everything delivered. And then when it got there, I wipe it down. So I was fully 100% petrified of getting it. Mm-hmm.
I think we all were to a degree, whether or not, you know, like, I mean, I'm always hyper skeptical of what's being fed to me by the government in any form. But I even myself, like, and we've evolved our understanding of these as the time's gone on, a mask and understanding whether they work or not or whatever. But even myself in the beginning, you know, you don't know what's going on. So I had a mask on, I was wiping things down, but I feel like I very quickly was like, okay, something's amiss here. So was that something you felt in the beginning, that there was something that wasn't really adding up? Or, you know, what was, you know, the first probably 6 months or so you were feeling this was just a typical outbreak and that we should be concerned about it?
Yeah, I was... I was believing what I was hearing, and my doctors had told me, so, and then the vax became available and my doctors were saying, yeah, you should take it. So I listened to them and I didn't, you know, I knew I was going to take the vax because I had underlying health conditions and I was afraid to catch COVID, and because, you know, I was afraid to die. Right. And, you know, most of my life I wouldn't have cared. But now, anyway, I really don't want to die right now. Maybe 10 years ago, I wouldn't have cared. no kidding. I wish I was kidding about that. But I think I have a death wish and a urge to live at the same time. I've had it my whole life. It's like it's like an opposite. But I didn't want to hear anything about the vax because I knew I was going to get it. So I was kind of afraid and I was just like, I'm just going to be okay. You know, everybody's going to be okay. I didn't really look into anything. I didn't understand that it was even mRNA technology, that it was a new thing that they've never done before. And I didn't know it. I just thought it was a vaccine. We've all get vaccines. And I got sick. So the second time I got the second jab, I never got better. I stayed sick. I was exhausted all the time. I had body aches. I felt like I had the flu. And I was just like, oh, you know, I just kept thinking it'll go away. And about 4 weeks in, 5 weeks, 5 weeks, I got a stiff neck right here. Like all of a sudden I woke up, I had a stiff neck. My wife had a stiff neck and my producer had a stiff neck and we all got a stiff neck. We all got our jabs at the same time, right around the same time. And we all got a stiff neck at the same, right, like within a week of each other. And it was on the side that the jab you get. So I got the jab on this side. I got a stiff neck on this side. They got the jab on this side. They get the stiff neck on that side. This is 5 weeks after the jab.
Interesting.
And so, and I'm still, so I tweeted out, I go, hey, you know, I got the thing on April 17th, my second jab, and I still feel like shit. And I told them all my symptoms. And immediately people called me a liar.
Right. That's crazy.
A liar. And then people said I was anti-vax. I'm like, no, I got the vax. I'm telling you what happened. And then other people said that I should shut up about it because it'll make other people hesitant to get the vax. And I'm like, well, that's not how science works. You're not supposed to suppress data. That's, I'm pretty sure that's not how science, I'm not a scientist. I'm a comedian. But I'm pretty sure that's not how science works. Suppressing data. That's right. How will it make the vaccine safer? Do you have any interest in doing that, making it safer? So we just ignore anything that's happening to people? So that was just stunning to me to see that kind of response, right? Mm-hmm. And I got contacted by a doctor, Dr. Yoganda, and he goes by Dr. Yo. And he's leading a team of doctors investigating long-haul COVID and people like me who present medically as if I had long-haul COVID after I got the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So he did a blood test. So I had to go to a special place, and they did a blood test and draw, and then they had to send it to a special place. And they figured out that medically, biologically, I present as if I have long-haul COVID, right? So those are the people who never get better from COVID, right? And right. So I present that way. And he had a theory that you get that some people have that reaction to the jab. Mm-hmm. And so when he saw my blood test came back, he was like, yep, this is exactly what we think. And we're writing a paper about it. So they've written, I think, at least three papers. One has been already accepted and submitted for peer review. And the one that they're writing about this, about the jab causing symptoms of the long haul COVID, he's afraid that it won't get accepted for peer review, but he's going to try. They're trying. So he's leading a team of other doctors, and they're treating at least 1,000 people. And so after I realized that I had had this reaction, that I got injured from the jab, I started to look into it.
Right.
As well, it's over. I might as well find out what's happening to me. And that's when I stumbled on Dr. Robert Malone, who is the inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology. He's not the inventor of this vaccine, but right. He was the first one ever to do whatever it is that you do to use mRNA as a vaccine. He was the first one ever to do it. And there's no debate that he was the first one ever to do it. But then a bunch of other people built on his work. So then when the big pharma wants to discredit him because he's telling the truth, they have to say things like, oh, well, he didn't invent the mRNA. He was one of hundreds of he was the original. He was they all built on his work, and no one will deny that. But they like to write if you go to the war criminal edited Atlantic, they will tell you that they will try to confuse you about his role in that. So anyway, Dr. Yo told me. So when I go in to see my doc, so Dr. Yo contacts, this is kind of interesting, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so. Go ahead.
So Dr. Yo contacts me through Twitter, and he tells me I'm doing this study, and we have a protocol for treatment that's successful, and go see your doctor and explain it to your doctor. And he said there's a good chance your doctor's not going to listen to you, but you have to try, and then let me know how it goes. And if it doesn't go well, I'll try to find another doctor for you in Los Angeles that's working with us. So I go to my primary care physician, and I start to tell her what's wrong with me. And she just looks at me and she goes, I go, what? She goes, I have five people just like you. And she says, one of them's a neurologist, one of them's a nurse, and they're both afraid to talk about it.
Oh, man.
Because they're afraid to be stigmatized. And that's just amazing to me. So this was months ago, right? So this was maybe May, or no, end of May. And so she says, well, there's this doctor I know who's been treating this. And she says, Dr. Yo. I go, you know this guy? And she says, yeah. And I was like, oh, my prayers have been answered. You know, like, I'm not going to have to convince my doctor. Like, look at my. And so my doctor was telling me horror stories because she was having to treat, you know, people with COVID in the hospital. They were understaffed and overpatiented. And she was talking about how she says they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to treat this. They're giving us guidance based on nothing. And she said, we were told to do nothing for these people. And she said, I didn't listen to them. She said, I started giving them treatment. I started filling them with steroids. And we were told not to do that. She says, but they're going to die anyway. And she goes, so my patients started living and their patients died.
That's unbelievable.
That's why they call it practicing medicine. You got to try things. You got to try to do different things. And that's why you're allowed to prescribe off label, right? Meaning this drug was approved by the FDA for this, but I'm going to try to use it to treat this, right? Mm-hmm. So much like ivermectin, which just goes to show you that we'll get to that in a second. But she started working with ICE, and I got on fluvoxamine, ivermectin, prednisone. I was already taking vitamin D doses and this thing called calcitriol, which is also vitamin D-like. And so what else did I do? Was that all I had to take? And so the fluvoxamine's for like brain fog.
So they're essentially treating you like you had COVID-19, even though even your doctor would argue this is induced by the injection.
I never had COVID. So yeah, that's exactly how they're treating. They're treating me as if I have COVID, even though I never had COVID.
Very interesting. Very revealing.
So, and I'm getting better. I'm almost 100%. I still have joint pain every once in a while.
As of today, you still have these feelings?
Yeah. But it's nothing like it was. I mean, I was down for the count, man. And
how long afterward did you still feel like you were half speed? Like how many months until you felt like you were back to somewhat normal?
It was such a progressive. It was so slow. It's slow. I'm trying to think of what I was doing. I was probably about 80% in July. I was probably back 80% in July after like a month of month and a half of treatment, you know? And and then it's this last 20% has been slow, but I'm almost there. I would say I'm now 90 to 95% there. I just had a wicked stiff neck and an occipital neuralgia, they call it, which makes your whole head hurt. And I was just getting these horrible headaches, you know. And
it's fair to say 15 minutes in the waiting room after your injection is a little undershot, right? That's what you're dealing with.
Yes. And I asked Dr. Yo, I go, do you see people getting occipital neuralgia from this? He says, yes. And we have a protocol to treat that. And so luckily it just went away from me. So now, I mean, my neck is about, again, 90, and it's not 100%, but so that led me to start looking into things, and then I couldn't believe how ivermectin, the propaganda, and it just goes to show you, they can make people believe anything. So yeah. Ivermectin, which was invented for humans, has been prescribed over 3.2 billion times, has very little, almost no drug interactions, super safer than aspirin, and won the 2015 Nobel Prize for Human Medicine. They could then make people, which they then found out, it could also be used for farm animals and animals. They also, after it was being used for billions of human beings around the planet, they then found, so it wasn't the other way around. It wasn't invented as an animal medicine and then humans started using it. It was the exact opposite. It won the Nobel Prize in 2015, not like 40 years ago, so people wouldn't know this. It was just happened. So what I'm saying is when you see a journalist, when you see negative articles calling it horse dewormer and stuff like that, those are journalists who are consciously lying to you. That just goes to show you that they know it's herd mentality and they have to tell this lie. Just like I know all the journalists didn't believe in a Russiagate, but they said it anyway because it was a career ender to tell the other. I mean, look, they're still doing it to Matt Taibbi. They tried to cancel him on Twitter after his Bill Maher appearance where he told the truth about anyway. So that was amazing to see that they could make, I saw there was a producer from MSNBC tweeted out, horse dewormer, right? And I just went to the NIH and they had a paper published at the NIH website of 18 randomized controlled studies, trials about ivermectin and what the results were and their use against COVID. This is from the NIH. I just, without comment, I tweeted it at this producer from MSNBC and then Ken Klipperstein from the Intercept, the pro-censorship Intercept bullshit fucking outlet, then retweets me and says, Jimmy Dore's a horse dewormer now. And he got like 10 or 12,000 tweets of likes on it. And I was like, do you realize that was not my opinion? I just tweeted out a study from the NIH. I don't know what's going on here, but it's weird that people have to be anti-science to now dunk on me. And that's
as you're posting scientific studies, which is absurdly ridiculous when you think about it.
The whole thing is that they're the ones who are the science. We follow the science, unlike Trumpers and the morons. And it's like I'm literally tweeting out from the NIH. It's not from the National Enquirer and it's not from Breitbart. It's from NIH.fucking-whatever.gov. And I without comment.
Right. That's the craziest part.
If you got a problem with this study, say something about it. Don't call it horse dewormer. So that just goes to show you the herd mentality of journalism and why I have a super popular show, right? And is because people are tired of that shit. They're tired of being lied to by people who take checks from billionaires, which is what the people at The Intercept are. And my favorite guy over there is Ryan Grimm. He takes a check for not one billionaire, not two billionaires, but three different billionaires, and somehow people get tricked into thinking he's a lefty, and he's out there giving the lefty point of view. The fucking guy takes a check from Jeffrey Katzenberg over at the Young Turks, which is top DNC donor, Mr. Establishment. He takes another one from Pierre Omidyar, right, who's pro-censorship and fired Glenn Greenwald, and then he takes another one from the billionaire who runs The Hill. This is unbelievable. Anyway, getting back to this story, That was, I couldn't believe that happened. I was like, wow, so logic, facts, these people have turned into the thing they claim to hate. So they're like the flat earthers now. Science doesn't matter. And it's just like Keith Olbermann screaming into a camera over from his penthouse apartment overlooking Central Park, screaming about the unvaxxed and how we have to punish them and how they're afraid because he's saying that they're all Trumpers.
Right.
When in New York City, 72% of the young black people are the ones who are not vaccinated. Right. So it's just this, you know.
I think what it begins to show us is that none of this stuff is sacred to most of these people, right? That they're, well, like you said before, they're going to go with the dewormer argument because it's safe. And it looks like you're playing within the narrative to make it look like you're fighting against something when really you're just towing the line. You know, I think that's what all of this is showing us.
Yes, you're just... Again, you're just repeating propaganda because you're a coward and you go along with herd mentality.
Yes.
And I can't blame regular people for thinking that ivermectin is some kind of redneck drug that people are in horse paste because everybody tells them that. And, of course, that story that Rolling Stone started about all the people in the Tennessee or wherever, Oklahoma, that were
they couldn't treat gunshot victims
because they were overwhelmed with people with ivermectin poisoning.
You might appreciate this clip just since I happen to have it queued up right here and you can laugh and comment after it.
So things are clearly bad, but they're being made even worse by people who have refused to take the vaccine and instead are swallowing horse paste. The emergency room in one rural Oklahoma town is being overwhelmed by people overdosing on ivermectin, the horse deworming medication. It's gotten so bad that gunshot victims are having to wait to be treated.
So go ahead and give me your thoughts on that, because there's many things to poke through right there.
Well, it's just amazing that that won't show up on her Wikipedia page.
Right.
But even when I get something right, it'll follow me around for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Like when I was right about this Syrian gas attacks being false flags, now they still say Jimmy Dore is a conspiracy theorist because he says that the Syrian gas attacks are false flags. Well, it's been proven true that was
exactly
the OPCW whistleblowers have proven that were true. But they'll never take that off of Wikipedia, and that'll never follow MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, Rolex, Joanne Reed, none of the people who pushed that completely 100% false story. And by the way, the only thing you had to do to debunk that story was call the hospital. Nobody did it. It was reported by everybody. And the by the way, Rachel Maddow never took down her tweet about it.
Exactly.
So when censorship is selective, because they'll never censor the establishment. They're only going to, again, it's never, if you lie at the behest of the establishment, never a price to pay. If you tell the truth that upends a lie by the establishment, you will be censored.
This is why Guaido is technically still president in Venezuela, we're told, or why Bolivia is a democracy, right? You made a great point about this a while back that I revisit all the time about WikiLeaks. At least I heard you say this first, where it's obvious, where you can have Assange, somebody who reveals all the information, and we've all acknowledged that it's factually correct, and yet he's the one that's attacked, and anyone aligned with him is attacked, and not a single person has been gone after or investigated who was a part of the crimes we all admit were crimes. You know, it's just an obvious contradiction. But if we could revisit one of the points you made at the beginning really quickly, because I think this is hugely relevant to where a lot of people are, is that do you feel that you did not have the full breadth of the information around this before so you said your doctor said you should take this and you weren't fully informed about it. And it's a lot of people still believe that they're being informed by the media. Go ahead.
How could you be informed by about a vaccine that just got invented? I didn't know anything. We didn't have any long-term, medium-term studies on it at all. Nobody knew. They're now the NIH is ordering studies on the effects of the vaccines on women's menstrual cycles.
After
now
they're doing it. Right.
Now, in Canada, they're not allowing males 24 and under to get the Moderna anymore. Hmm. Now, so they're finding things out about this all the time.
Right.
And so, no, how could you? But I did. I was almost intentional. I did not want to find out bad things because I knew I was going to take it and I was just going to cross my fingers.
That's the next part. That's important because I don't think anybody can be faulted for not being. They chose to not inform us. Informed consent was not met. And multiple studies have found that. But so the second part of it is interesting because I have from a personal point, I have two members of my family that were in a similar situation that ultimately were concerned for their well-being because they believe what they were being told, like a lot of people, like a lot of us did in the beginning, and ended up going through a similar situation where they now have heart problems and going forward. And what's interesting is I feel there's a level of a desire to not find out the negative because you want to accept the choice that was already made, right? And so how long do you feel that that was? Do you feel that it was the shot that you took the turning point for you where you just said, okay, that's, I need to look into this and going forward, it all begins to fall apart?
Yes. That was when I got sick.
Right. Right. So what was the first part of it that you dove into that you feel like began to materialize or begin to, I guess, fall apart in front of you? Like which, not just the injection, but like what other aspects of this whole COVID-19 narrative are beginning to seem also hollow to you, or is there other parts of it?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I realized that they're lying about ivermectin because it's a generic and it's inexpensive and you can't make any money off it. That's the funny thing. That's why they're like, even Merck says they don't recommend it for COVID. Yeah, you know why? Because they can't make any money off it because anybody can produce it. And why the demonization? And the demonization of it made no sense. Like, why aren't we throwing the kitchen sink at COVID and find out what works? Why the immediate demonization of it? Because it was working. And
that's the other important point that you laid out there, is that the doctors pretty much told you, or you were told, that they weren't giving anybody any treatment. I mean, I can't even understand how we can hear that, know that, it's been admitted in other ways, and act like we're doing what we should be doing. My father was told the same thing. Go home, take Tylenol. Right? So we're overwhelmed, but you have an illness and we're telling you to come back once it gets worse. It's like, but now we're overwhelmed. Like, that seems like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And monoclonals are very effective in treating this, but they, for some reason, have a lot of restrictions around who can get it, when they can get it. They're limiting the supplies to different red states and blue states. It's crazy. But monoclonals are very effective. And if you're admitted, they won't give you monoclonals, that you have to get it as an outpatient. Anyway, my sister-in-law just got COVID. She has an underlying lung condition where she probably could die. So she's vaxxed, got COVID, had 102 fever. And my brother was hip, and he went and got her the monoclonals. And in 2 days, it was like she was back to normal. So that's the thing. They don't want. So it appears to me, as usual with Big Pharma, there's a big cash grab happening. And these people are, they're proven psychopaths. The idea that everybody in America went to goddamn Big Pharma is a corrupting thing, and they're all criminals, and they're bribing the government to screw us over, which is true. And to all of a sudden thinking they wouldn't ever, that the head of the vaccine department at the FDA just resigned because of the bullshit that Joe Biden and his administration was trying to force through with the booster shots. That's a fucking fact. That happened. The head of the vaccine department thing at the FDA resigned over Joe Biden's politicizing fucking boosters and wanting to push them through before they were fully ready and tested. And they resigned. What in the fuck else do you need to hear about this to know that these politicians are nothing but tools of the pharma industry? Of course. By the way, the guy who was the former head of the FDA is now on the board of Pfizer from 2019. He's been on the board of Pfizer. So Jesus Christ, right? So this is the revolving door. This is called corporate capture of our regulatory bodies. And no, last year when they were giving Andrew Cuomo an Emmy for his handling of COVID, he was saying he didn't trust the FDA and he didn't trust the process. Whoa, that's the governor of New York, as they're handing him an Emmy, was saying that. But now you're not allowed to say that, even as they're resigning over the bullshit that because politicians are meddling with fucking science. Yes. And so you're still supposed to just, who am I supposed to trust? Dr. Fauci? I've got video after video. He's a pathological liar, just like Joe Biden is a path. I don't use that term lightly. These people are pathological liars. He lied about masks. His own admission, he admitted he lied about masks. He lied to Congress about funding with the Wuhan Clinic and gain of function. He lied about herd immunity. He repeatedly lied about those things. So this guy is and if you go back into his history, he's completely corrupted by money and the drug industry. So I'm just saying, I had Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the mRNA vaccine technology, on my show. And of course, he revealed that they're doing it. He said, you can't vaccinate your way out of a pandemic outbreak like this. What you're supposed to do is vaccinate the people who are the most vulnerable. And then the virus circulates, becomes more contagious, but less deadly. And that's what he said on my show. And ever since then, everything I read that isn't propaganda, that was before COVID, says that's how you handle pandemics. And right, that's how you handle outbreak. And it's just like they've turned everything on its head. And he said, especially if you have a leaky vaccine, you can't vaccinate your way. You shouldn't be giving it to everybody if it's a leaky vaccine. And I said, what does that mean? He said, all vaccines are leaky, but some are more than others. And this one is super leaky. And meaning that even after you get vaccinated, you can still transmit it and you can still get it. That's what it's meant by leaky.
Which the science has shown over the years is what creates the variants.
Yes!
Right.
And they're trying to make it out like it's the unvaccinated. No, right. The vaccinate, when the people, it has to work around harder. It's just...
It's pretty common sense when you think about it.
The propaganda is just unbelievable around COVID. The Democrats don't follow the science. They only follow the science when it fits their political narrative. That's when they follow. Just like the Republicans, they're all bought and paid for by Big Pharma and Wall Street. And you know that Moderna's stock went up 500%. So I'm not a math major. But if you invested $2,000 in Moderna in February 2020, and it's now up 500%, wouldn't that have made you $1 million? I'm pretty sure 2,000 times 500 is $1 million, right?
The investments there are all over the place. Fauci and his scientists tied to Pfizer, right? We saw all the people in the beginning of this cash in a lot of stock trades that made them millions of dollars right before this was supposedly aware of what was happening. Right. That never got dealt with. There's so much foreknowledge that's circulating around this, whether it's the BlackRock financial plan, whether it's, you just vent 201, which I'm sure you've discussed. I mean, there's 1,000 reasons why we can see that to some level there was foreknowledge of what was about to happen. Why don't we just dive into that next topic then and give me your thoughts on, and this is just, superficial, like your thoughts of what you've seen so far and experts you've talked to. What are your thoughts on whether we're dealing with something that is just organic or whether this is something that potentially did come from some sort of a lab, whether that's, bioweapon or leak or however you'd perceive that? What are your thoughts generally there?
Well, it seems like they've been trying to do this shit for a long time. Fauci lied. Why would he lie about it?
Exactly.
If you didn't think he was doing something wrong, I know the Obama administration put a halt to gain of function research, and then Fauci found a way around it where he funded the Echo Health Alliance and Rand Paul. They made Rand Paul look like Perry Mason.
With publicly available information, which I think is funny, I'd also add that I tend to see it as a little bit bigger than just a Fauci thing, because more people had to have been involved in the decisions to make that happen. I would even argue Obama himself, but at the end of the day, you're right that it focuses on Fauci.
I don't think you can take anything off the table now, right? Now that I've caught Fauci lying repeatedly, and now that the FDA vaccine heads are resigning over the politicization and the push from Joe Biden. Joe Biden is just a demented tool of big business. And so that's why they're doing if they're forcing a booster on people, it's at the behest of big business. And that's why those people resigned too. It wasn't just one, it was two people at the FDA that resigned. And it wasn't just a moron. It was the head of the vaccine department. So,
speaks volumes indeed.
Yes. Yeah, so yes, I never really looked into Bill Gates before. Hmm. And boy, is that a shady motherfucker.
It's interesting, isn't it? This is an interesting point too, in the evolving of the perception is it's easy to see from the beginning why anybody would say, well, that seems like a little bit of a jump. Like why, it makes him seem like some supervillain the way that you perceive it when you first look at it. But when you really dive into this, Whitney Webb's work has been outstanding on the same with Derek Brose. It's undeniable that there's a level of influence that Bill Gates or his foundation has along with all of this stuff, whether it's vaccines, whether it's the new direction of the Great Reset. And so it begins to seem a little bit, nefarious may be too strong for some people, but that they are driving things, whether it is, I don't think it's too strong, but for some people, that they're driving this agenda in a way that benefits them, whether it was created or not, right? So give me your thoughts on that.
I'll tell you the most suspicious thing about all of this. So this is by far, not the people resigning after Biden, not the most suspicious thing about all of this is that why would they want people who already had the coronavirus and now they have natural immunity that's much greater than you get from the vaccine? Why would they also want them to have to get the vaccine to the point where they're going to fire them from their healthcare job? And so in New York, I looked into this. They're going to fire 72,000 healthcare workers and part of the plan was replacing them with National Guard workers. Well, I found out that the National Guard workers were unvaccinated. They don't have a mandate to be vaccinated until June 30th, 2022, and most of them were unvaccinated. You're going to replace highly qualified, unvaccinated medical workers with unqualified, unvaccinated National Guard. That doesn't make any sense, except when when all those nurses go back to the hospital to protest, the National Guard will already be there, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great point. So it's just ridiculous.
So
to me.
Dr. Fauci was asked by Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN, the only time CNN has done any journalism about COVID or the vaccines, the only time Dr. Sanjay Gupta asked Dr. Fauci on camera, hey, we're getting studies now out of Israel. We know that natural immunity having COVID gives you much greater immunity than the vaccine. Why are we mandating that people who have natural immunity get the vaccine? And his response was, I don't have a really strong answer for you on that.
That's incredible.
Wait a minute. So you don't know why you're doing something? You're going to fire 72,000 workers and you don't know why the fuck you're doing that? Well, now my antenna goes up that there's some scammery happening. I mean, that if that doesn't make you see what is happening here, that's about money. That's about Big Pharma. And so the more people get vaccinated, the more money goes to Big Pharma, the more money goes to Wall Street, the more money I'm sure goes somehow into Fauci's pocket. And that's exactly what this is about. And anybody who trusts Dr. Fauci is a straight up chump, a fucking willing dupe, and you get what you deserve. Go ahead. You're going to trust that piece of shit, lying motherfucker. I have no sympathy for those people. If you don't see that guy's a liar, it's the Trump derangement syndrome. That's all this is. And they're so easily manipulated by the establishment media. You know, they kicked Donald Trump off of social media because he's so dangerous, yet everybody on social media keeps quoting him. What the fuck?
And the most obvious reality here, the thing to point out, and I'm glad you brought up natural immunity, is that there has been a body of evidence that's been there from the beginning of this, of the conversation, that's continued to be ignored. Even from the interesting back and forth about the Israeli study, and I'll send you these when we're done. I mean, there's been studies from 2020 forward, from the Lancet, from the WHO, from the NIH, as you were pointing out before, around ivermectin, but in this regard, natural immunity, all of which say the same things. Robust, lasting immunity, T cell, memory B, all of it. I mean, it's amazing to me that the Lancet can say this and it's very clear, and yet he can sit there and be like, we don't know for sure. I mean, that there is no way to not see that as a dishonest act. Either he's the most incompetent person in his position that's ever been, or he's hiding things from you, you know, and that's, I agree with you. And especially while people like you and I are waving the information in front of you and you're still trusting people like Fauci, it's hard not to be frustrated by that.
They don't have a reason why people who have natural immunity should get the vaccine, yet they're going to fire you for not getting it. Well, that's not about health. And if they're going to fire healthcare workers because they're unvaccinated and replace them with unvaccinated National Guard workers, then that's not about health either. Right. You know, 200,000 people would still be alive if we had Medicare for All that died from the coronavirus. So now there's 700,000 people dead. But when there was only 600,000 people dead, they released a study that said 200,000 of those 600,000 would still be dead. A third of those people would still be alive who are dead now if they had Medicare for All. But they're not going to give you fucking health care. What they're going to give you is a mandated jab, even if you already had COVID. This isn't about health care. And if people can't see that, they're fucking naive in the extreme.
I agree. Now, I would put the caveat on the numbers, because we know we have the PCR with a false positive. We know we've got the combination of flu and influenza with the COVID numbers, or flu and pneumonia, right? So I just always point that out, that those numbers are at the very least not completely accurate. But I want to get your opinion on this in the same point. So this is what we're now seeing, and this is the absurd, we can maybe just finish up on this point, this is the absurd evolution of this conversation. That, like you're saying, so it starts off where we don't know, or if the vaccine's better, or so on, and we're watching the waning conversation. The last study I saw puts the waning after the injection after 2 months. 2 months, it begins to dramatically drop off. And as we said before, and I'll include these links in the show, all of the main people they tell you to listen to are telling you that your natural immunity is not only lasting, durable, and robust in every possible way, but that in fact, most people had it reactivity, immunity in regard to memory B or antibodies before COVID ever came around because of the cold, because of SARS, because of a lot of reasons. So it's ridiculous to think they're going to force this on people that don't need it, especially when their risk is dramatically low. I don't know if you saw the Oxford calculator, 19 and under, 1 in a million chance of dying. But look at this tweet here. For those in the podcast, it reads, if you're fully vaccinated against COVID, the next step to improve your immunity may actually be to catch the virus, experts warn. Give me your thoughts on that, Jimmy.
I mean, they just keep moving the goalposts. They keep just inventing. And this idea to blame your neighbor, blame somebody who's unvaxxed for this. No, the people who should be responsible for this is the ruling class. Exactly. Again, they won't give you health care, but they will give you a jab. And then and worse. And by the way, you can't sue. Like, so now I got injured. Now, you can't sue them because they passed a law that gives them immunity from any lawsuits if someone's got injured from the vaccine. And I said, well, why would they pass a law like that? And someone said, because it's safe.
Wow. That's someone buying the narrative for sure, right? I mean, it's incredible. So if it was safe, why would they need indemnity, right? It's just this circle around of...
So that's the whole thing. It's like, oh, is it safe? They give you the jab. And then I go, okay, yeah, I feel good. I'm going to go home. No, you have to stay here for 15 minutes. Why? Because you might die. Okay, you told me it was safe. So, the idea that you're supposed to suppress data, you're supposed to not talk about your effect. I mean, look what they did to Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton talk just about talked that. About... you think Eric Clapton's making shit up? You think he's making it up? Why would he all of a sudden decide to make shit up about this? And so there's going to be a lot more stories like this. The NIH is now, they're paying for a study to see how it affects women's menstrual cycles. The anecdotal evidence is overwhelming.
It is.
And, you know, I'm talking to more people. My hairdresser just got, she was super pro-vax, right? She got her booster and she's been stiff ever since. She goes, I can't really move right. And so there's lots of those stories and more are going to come out. And I think that you should, again, I'm not anti-vax. You should do it like Dr. Robert Malone said. You should vaccinate the vulnerable, but everybody should be made aware of the exact risks.
Exactly. Or the fact that we don't fully understand the risks even now. I would simply argue that we should have a choice. That's all it ends up with, right? That even the elderly or anybody else, it should be our decision.
Well, if they're ordering studies about how it affects women's menstrual cycles, how could you make someone take that and you don't really know how it's going to affect them? Right. And by the way, most people survive COVID. That's right. The weird thing.
The vast majority.
So once I started to realize that, and now I realize that there's actual treatments for it, right? So there's monoclonals, and now they're starting to find out that, well, I don't want to say things that are, but they're finding out a lot of Pepcid, the Dr. Robert Malone found out that was an effective treatment. There's lots of different things.
Vitamin D to improve your immune system, like basic understandings of how to generally be safe against respiratory. Like, these are all things that we've known for a really long time that they've come out and just acted like are now fake news to your point you made before, that everything's just flipped. Suddenly COVID's changed everything.
And so what made me suspicious, I'm watching PBS and there, Judy Woodruff is interviewing Bill Gates, right? And they're talking about the vaccines and how we're going to roll these out and how to solve it. And right in the middle of them, like, why the fuck are they asking this guy? And why, how did he become, this guy's a college dropout. He's not a virologist. He's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's just a billionaire monopolist. And somehow I'm supposed to believe that guy gives a shit about me and vaccines. And then I found out that very news show that I was interviewing him about the vaccines, he pays for their medical reporting.
Shocking.
And then I found out that he also funds like the making of vaccines. He then funds the coverage of the vaccines, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy's got a real scam going on. He pays for coverage in lots of things. He's donated money to all different kinds of news organizations, and he's manufacturing news coverage of the vaccines that he happens to be pushing and doing whatever. And I'm just like, this doesn't seem right. What the fuck is this right. guy up to? And why are they? And
how about buying all the farmland or investing in Impossible Meats? Go ahead. Sorry.
Continue. Well, just to keep it on vaccines. So Oxford, when they invented their vaccine, they were going to give it away for free so all the poor countries could have it. And guess who intervened? Bill Gates intervened with Oxford and convinced them to sell it because then they got made all the profits. Mm-hmm. So this guy is not a philanthropist. And the reason why he said he was meeting with Jeffrey Epstein was because Jeffrey Epstein was supposed to connect him with donors for his philanthropy. You got to get somebody to introduce you to people with money? Really? The richest guy in the world needs somebody else's money? Go fuck yourself.
I'm feeling a eugenics tie right there personally. I mean, and the history there is undeniable. The Galton Institute is a group that they're all working with. They were before Epstein, you know, disappeared. And the point being that there's a lot of ties there with this. They tie in with the direction that they're driving right now. And I think that's the point right there in regard to it ties in with all of this, because the vaccine, the infrastructure, the passports, the Great Reset, it all drives in the direction of the world that they're trying to build using health, in my opinion. And so I think that Bill Gates buying up the farmland and go ahead.
Yeah. What does the Great Reset mean to you? How do you explain it to people?
Well, I mean, it's from a surface level perspective, it is in what they're telling you it is a, you know, collaboration of different think tanks and public-private partnerships and groups around the world that are getting together to provide solutions to the problems that we're all facing. The problem is that those solutions err aggressively on what benefits these select grouping of people in the top, and of course, driving an aggressive technocratic future, which gives them more control over the internet, more control, and that's all it is. There's another thing called the Greater Reset that Derek Brose is working on, which basically just offers alternative solutions to the same problems they're presenting. It always drives in a direction that is technology and aggressive control over that world. You've seen the article, I'm sure, that says, hey, it's 2030, you own nothing, and you've never been happier. Maybe if you have, that's an article that's been put out by the World Economic Forum, and it's been shared by multiple other outlets. And their argument is, hey, look, we're just kind of glancing into the future. It's 2030. You don't own anything, and you've never been happier. And you read the article, and it's like, oh, you don't have a car. You don't own any clothes. Everything you have to get, you rent or you buy. And guess who? Somebody has to own that stuff. Guess who it is? The centralized controllers at the top, right? Now, if there were altruistic people that only cared about you, sure, maybe that would be okay. But I'm pretty sure we know that's not what's happening. So it's a concerning step forward. I think that's where all of this is driving. That'd be my opinion.
I'd have to go read that article. I don't know. Wow.
Well, just, I recommend just looking into the Great Reset, and our website's got a lot of it, but there's a lot of great work from James Corbett and others, you know, and it just, whether or not that is the only reason for all of this, it's very obvious that they're capitalizing on what COVID-19 is creating to drive in something that they've been telling you they've wanted for 20 years, right? So whether it's opportunistic or created, that's up for people to decide.
So just look at how, You need any more proof how the United States is a complete oligarchy and not a democracy whatsoever, is that when other countries locked down to fight COVID and they had to just lock down people's businesses, they paid their salaries, mm-hmm. right? They didn't do that in the United States. They just said, stay home and fucking pound sand and screw you. And get everything you have to get from Amazon so Jeff Bezos can make an extra right. trillion. And in the meantime, we're going to transfer $5 trillion upward while helping you guys zero. Literally, $5 trillion to all the businesses and the richest fucking 1,000 people in the country. And the United States people did not revolt over that. I mean, which means that they'll never revolt. Now there are worker strikes happening all over the place. Of course, it doesn't get much coverage. But I can't believe people put up with that. So why would the capitalists, so you want to see what capitalism is? That's capitalism. They'll just fucking close your business. They don't give a shit. And they don't care that there's homeless people under every bridge in the United States. They don't care that can't get health care. They don't care. And I mean, George Carlin said it 10, 15 years ago, they don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck at all, at all, at all. And you think they do. You think Joe Biden cares? You think Pfizer cares? Moderna cares? You think Blue Cross cares? They do. Wall Street cares? They do not care. And so the United States is, I would say, as close to Brazil as you could get without being. I mean, the income inequality is bigger than since the Gilded Age. So yeah. Before that, you got to go back to the time of the Egyptians. So, I mean, what's happening, and there's nobody's got a plan to fix it. Joe Biden won't even give us a $15 living wage, which isn't even a living wage anymore.
They don't want to fix it. They don't want to fix it, I argue. I think the plan, I think what they want to give the illusion of is of trying to do what's right for you while continuing what's completely it's advantageous for them and the entire government on either side, in my opinion, to keep the system going in a way that allows them to be rampantly lawless, right? I mean, that's what's happening right now. Look at like a Gavin Newsom situation where it's like, well, he's kind of doing his own thing, but they're kind of letting it happen. Right. I mean, people are just going their own directions right now. And I think that's what this has culminated to, is increasing rampant lawlessness.
What I love about Gavin Newsom is that while he's tweeting out pictures of forest fires in California saying climate change is real, he's also approving 370 something fracking permits.
Right, because he really cares about it, doesn't he? Right, you know, and that's the great point right there. I mean, that sums it all up. I mean, this is what we're seeing in every possible angle, is people that are, you know, lip service to everything they think anyone they're talking to cares about, while then doing whatever else they want to do. We need to realize these people are not the living embodiment of their constituencies. That's the opposite. I mean, they're telling people what they want to hear, and they're driving forward their agenda. And that's why I think your work has been very important in this regard, is showing people that. Like, I mean, I'm driving it even further in the two-party false paradigm entirely. Doesn't mean that we don't have our politics, but it means that the government is abusing those party lines to force things to divide us at the end of the day. I think that's
the whole thing is division. That's all it's right. about now. You know, I forget who the guy was. I saw Max Blumenthal interview. I forget the guy's name, but he was making the point that, you know, Brexit and the election of Trump was, you know, the filthy unwashed sticking their thumb in the eye of the oligarchs, and they can't have that. So the problem, Donald Trump was a small problem. The bigger problem was Donald Trump's followers. And so there's been a big push to discredit them. And I don't know if you're up on that, but did you know that there was a similar, you know how January 6th happened? Mm-hmm. There was a similar thing that happened in, was it Germany? Anyway, how come we don't see an investigation about the cops that, I saw videotapes of the cops pulling back the gates and letting people in. Right. I saw videotapes of cops taking selfies with those people inside. Right. You're telling me, anyway, it's just.
Well, the FBI did investigate and walk away and said there was no coordination. I mean, there's also, how about the fact that there was an FBI agent and two different militias that were there, or there was also a psychological operations military agent that was with one of these groups. Of course, he was off duty. All this has been verified, right? Even the mainstream media tacitly grudgingly reported this stuff. But you're right. Nobody cares about those things because it has to be an insurrection.
Anyway, it's only going to get worse. And I can't believe people aren't uniformly standing up against vaccine mandates, especially when we know we can't vaccinate our way out of this pandemic. And if you want to go get vaccinated, you can go get vaccinated. So then you're protected. We're all going to get it. That's the other thing they're not telling people loudly enough, is that we're all going to get COVID. It's not going away. We cannot get rid of it. That's not from me. The WHO admits that. So, and we're all going to catch COVID. So we should prepare for it. There are things you can do to help treat it. There's monoclonals, right? There's ivermectin. There's fluvoxamine.
Healthy lifestyle.
There's healthy lifestyle, right? Hey, look at it in Africa, right? And you know, there's a state in India, 237 million people. They declared that the COVID's over, and there's only 17% vaccination rate.
Right.
And they chalk it up to their ivermectin. We're all going to get it, and they want us to blame each other instead of blaming the ruling class for the pain that has been inflicted on us in the name of science. This again, there's nothing scientific about what they've been doing. So, I got to run, but it's been great talking to you. Great conversation.
You as well. Thanks for joining me, Jimmy. We can, you know, definitely leave it there. I think the obvious point is this should be your choice. We're living in a country where we pretend that's all we care about, freedom of choice and freedom. And then we just say, oh, but we're scared, so we're going to put it on pause. You know, that's not how that works. So thank you for being here and discussing this, Jimmy. It's great to see the interviews you've been having. I think you're knocking out of the park with this, and I hope you keep going on it. So thanks for joining me, and hopefully we'll have you back on soon. And as always, okay. Oh, go ahead. Any last thoughts for us, or is that it?
No, that's it.
Okay. And as always, everybody out there, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.